Greetings, everyone. We've been away 4 weeks, four Sundays back in Virginia. Part of the reason was our daughter-in-law needed to have gallbladder surgery, and we were helping out, doing some babysitting and so on. It was very, very active. We got to enjoy some snow, 10 inches of snow, I think a little after January. When we first got there, it was like a couple of days of 60s, and then the cold came in. It was interesting because Brenda called me. I was down in the shop, and she said, look out the outside. And it was sleeting, and it was blowing in. And I looked down near the barn, and I saw this red fox coming around. And I just stood there to see if he'd come up, because there's a foxhole right beside the shop. And he came up, and even though I didn't move, he recognized me and just kind of pretended like he didn't see me, acted nonchalant, and then finally gave up and headed off the other direction. But I got to see him different times coming into his hole. We had 10 inches of light snow. Kids got to sled. And then the big project was to set up a skating rink, because Trevor had leveled a spot of land last summer. And so we spread out some plastic, put up some wood sides to hold the water, and put a couple inches of water in. And it took about 4 or 5 days, but it did freeze solid. And eventually we had all the grandkids on the ice skating. It was big enough, 16 by 40. So next year we'll double the size, and then I think we'll add bleachers and then maybe a snack bar. You know how your dreams kind of expand and exceed your capacity. But anyway, it was a good time, and we enjoyed it. But it wasn't a vacation. Brenda and I were talking. It's like we're always busy. It's like you don't have time for all the things you'd like. But it was great. It was wonderful. Okay, so now we'll get into the sermon. So last week, Pastor Mel went over the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And this week we continue on with the rest of the chapter and spend our time on that we're one body. So we're here, we're different individuals, we all have different talents and likes and dislikes, but we have the Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that binds us together. And so just as in our bodies, we have, I don't know, millions or billions of cells, but they're all held together for the most part. Blood, of course, is liquid. But in Christ's body, we're held together by the Spirit, by a common Spirit, which we'll be going into. That's the binder that holds us together. Well, before we delve into it, let me tell you about the culture in which this was written for the Corinthians. They had a lot of problems. So when you think about Christians as being these wonderful people that there's no arguments, nobody ever has any disagreements, we just get along wonderfully. It's not true. We just have the same problems as everybody else. So differences often wind up being divisive. When you think about little kids, we think of them as being innocent, but if they see anything different in another child or an adult, they point it out. They just blurt it out. You've got a wart on your nose, or I don't know, whatever. They recognize differences. And as adults, we tend to focus on differences. And we need to learn to stop and think, well, yes, they're different, or this annoys me, but what do they do good? What do I like? Because when we just focus on what's wrong, we miss all the good things. Because we're a mixed bag. We do some things good, and we do some things bad. But the overall, what we do good should dominate. And we need to be gracious to one another and stop and think about what's good. So the Corinthians had a lot of disagreements. Really, sin was at the root. And sin is when you don't trust Jesus, when you lack seeing him active in our fellowship, working at work. So divisiveness was troubling the people there in the Corinthian church, and Paul was trying to address that. I think of the quote of Abraham Lincoln, a famous quote about a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so divisiveness needs to be overcome. And as again, it's through the Holy Spirit, that's what pulls us together to prevent us from being divided. So let's begin. In 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, it says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit." So there's the key, and that's what I've been mentioning. It's by the Spirit that we're bound together. So we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, and they were vastly different. They did not get along, but it's through the Spirit that they formed one body to unite them, slave or free. And at that time, slavery was common throughout most of the world, and most of the time, slavery was of one form or another was normal. In the church, the early church, you had people that were members that were slaves, where somebody owned them and could tell them what to do, and there were others that were free, and yet they would come together as one. "And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So it talks about one Spirit to drink. And you think of the analogy when we take communion, that we're taking bread and wine. And Christ told us to that the bread represented his body and the wine represented his blood that we were to drink. So this idea of being one body is a recurrent theme throughout the New Testament, both in Jesus' words and also here what Paul's writing about, that we're one body. And again, I keep emphasizing it's the Holy Spirit that unites us. It's the glue that connects us together. Talking about communion, and I go back to 1 Corinthians 10 earlier in this section. We're going over 1 Corinthians 12. This is 1 Corinthians 10, where he's talking about communion. "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf." And we are one loaf in the church here. We could make jokes about what kind of loaf are we? Are we a fat loaf? Are we a sugar loaf or a donut or stuff like that? But the analogy at that time was bread came in a loaf. Back around, 1900, somebody invented a bread slicer so that it would slice the bread into slices. And that's where the joke comes from. I don't know if you've heard it. I certainly heard it about something being greater than sliced bread. It's because that was a big deal. You could go and get a loaf already sliced, nice straight pieces. But in Christ's times, they broke the bread and they passed it around. So the analogy of us being like a loaf of bread or one body, as I've said, it's a recurrent theme that Jesus wants us to think about and recognize what it means, what that analogy means. When Christ had the Last Supper and he had the bread and the wine, did he take the loaf and say, "I'm going to pass this around. I want you, everybody, to examine this, look at it, and then pass it on to the next person"? And did they take the loaf and just look at it? No. He broke the bread and he gave it to each of them and he said, "Take, eat." It was to be taken, it represented his body, but it was to be taken internally. They were to take it and become part of his body. And so we're part of his body through the Spirit. So keep trying to emphasize that. I'm not a person of a lot of words, but I've observed when you listen to a message or you read something, it's like they're saying the same thing essentially over and over, but putting it different ways. Because sometimes you need to hear things a certain way, and hopefully you hit on one that resonates with you, that you internalize and make a part of you. So we need to hear things different ways, different times, and of course our minds wander, and maybe our mind wanders off, and then we happen to come back and hear it at a time when we're prepared to hear it. So we are one body, we're united. It's the Spirit that unites us. We're one in Christ, in his body. And another aspect of that, we're one body in Christ. Well, that means we have his name. We're bearing his name. And that goes back to the 110 commandments. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We're called Christians. That's another name that's really saying that we're Christians. How would you put Jesus into? We're Jesuit? No, that doesn't work. We're Christians. We're bearing the name of Jesus. So we represent him, and people look at us as representing God. So if we mess up, if we don't do what we're supposed to, it's a blemish on Jesus. We're not representing him right. So we're the body of Christ. We bear his name and represent him. So we don't want to bear his name falsely. Back in Romans, again, Paul in Romans 12, again, talking about the body, the analogy. In Romans 12, verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And I think about love mercy, act humbly, walk humbly with your God. That was Romans 12, 4 to 8. And so we work together as a body. For us to have services today, a group of us got together, gathered together early to start setting up tables, getting the food ready, bringing food here, and just different duties so that we could come together. So it takes the whole team, and we really, all of us need to be, it's good for us all to be involved in some way to contribute. Certainly through fellowship, encouraging one another is a great way. When we come here face to face, then we ask each other, how are you doing? How was your week? What do you need help with? What's going on? That's one way to serve, to help encourage the body. When you think of the body, we have a blood system that really carries the food, the nutrients to the whole body. It keeps us fed. And so our words carry information, encouragement, and help to each of us. And so talking to one another is kind of like the blood flowing through the body, nourishing and encouraging each other. So that's an important part of coming together. And I'll diverge a little bit. This is maybe a side topic, but something I think it's interesting. I don't know if you've been hearing this. People talk about the difference between being nice and being kind. Has anybody heard anything like that? I've heard it from several different people, and it's words and phrases have a life of their own, because you hit on interesting phrases and they get repeated, which is like they're growing, they're populating, they're reproducing. And being nice and being kind is what I've heard, where they're defining nice is just only saying good things about you, talking about how good you look or you do such a great job and so on. Whereas being kind is not always saying nice things, but doing things to help you. So there are times, especially as parents with children, you point out their fault. And I don't know about you, realistically, having my faults pointed out, no, I don't like it. But I have learned to appreciate it and to value it, because sometimes people have to get mad at you before they'll really tell you what they think. And that's valuable input. There will be emotions involved. Throw that out. But there's some good information being conveyed. So it wasn't, when you hear that, no, it's not, well, it's not being nice, but it is kind to help you see where you need to grow, where you're falling down, and to be able to make adjustments and do better. In Silicon Valley, failure is considered important. I hear it often said that any manager and so on needs a good failure, or any businessman, before they really become competent. And if you make a failure, you pick up and go on, you learn from it. Whereas I work back east, and back east, if you make a, well, it's important, don't make any mistakes. And I've heard this like Europe too. It's more important to avoid mistakes than to accomplish something. But out here, you make a mistake and you learn from it and do better. Apple Computer came out with one of their first products. It was a failure. And then they took what they learned from that, the painful feedback. They were told what was wrong, and they corrected it and became a huge success. So hearing what's wrong, people being kind to you, is valuable because it helps you see where you can improve, where to grow. And I had written down, if somebody has a piece of lettuce in their teeth, is it nice to tell or not tell them, or is it kind to tell them? Which is it? You kind of have to judge the person, though, too, because some people, you cross them once and they'll never forget it. So you have to know something about human nature, too. But I would define being kind as actually telling them, pointing it out. All right, the next section, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12:15 through 20. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Our bodies are really interesting. They're like a Swiss Army knife. If you need to run, well, you've got feet. You get out your feet and start to run. If you need a club, you've got a hand, you reach down, pick up a club. If there's some little tiny thing, you've got fingernails to pick up tiny things or scratch your back, etc. So each part of the body has a function. God designed it very cleverly. And I remember in junior high and saw them talking about the opposed thumb, how important that was, because that's an action that most animals can't do, aid you in picking things up. But we're talking about diversity, and you think about all the animals God created. There are a few of them that do have opposing thumbs, but some of them have hooves, some of them have horns, all those things. When you go back to the Garden of Eden and you look at the creation, why did God need all those animals? I mean, wasn't humans enough? I look at it and it's like, sometimes I think God gets a little carried away with things, kind of overdoes it. I've talked before about the vastness of space, and you get into how vast it is, how big. They're able to look back 13 billion years, whatever they think right now. Was it really necessary? Do you have to spend all that time doing that? And then you drill down into the micro world, where now they're said that protons are made up of, I think it's three quarks and gluons to hold it together, and I don't know, leptons, whatever. And I think he got kind of overdid it, but he had a plan. He thought it out carefully, and as he told Job, where were you when I created the heavens, when I established the limits of the oceans and mountains and all that? I wasn't there. I don't know everything, and I don't know all the reason why. Another thought along those lines is, when I was young, doctors didn't know the use for an appendix, for the tonsils, and because they didn't know, they said it's not needed. Well, we've come to find out there is a purpose to those. They do have a function. They do contribute. Not a huge contribution, but they're there for a purpose, just because we don't understand it. God doesn't tell us everything there is to know. He just tells us what we need to know. So there's so many areas we can go into that we don't know, fully understand. Even in the Bible, there's lots of things. So you focus on the important things, the things that we need to know. when you think about different talents and why are we different. Right now we have football going on. We just finished the college playoffs. Now we're coming to the climax of the pro football. If you think about a dream team in football, who's the most important player? It's the quarterback, right? Well, therefore, wouldn't the dream team be made up of the best of all the quarterbacks, Joe Namath, Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so on? Wouldn't that be the team that would just wipe everybody out? If you had 11 of these top quarterbacks go out on the field, wouldn't they just cream everybody because they're the most important, paid the most? Doesn't work that way, does it? There's room for one good quarterback, but you need somebody to hike the ball, somebody to protect those quarterbacks, somebody to catch the ball, and so on. So you need players with different talent. And watching some of the games with my older son, Nathan, and we were laughing about some of these fat players. We were pointing out the fattest player on the team. But he wouldn't be there if he couldn't move. He might be big, but when he delivers that weight, it's felt. He's effective. And I remember back years ago, Chicago had the refrigerator. Remember that? In fact, they would, at times, they'd have him carry the ball because he was so big and fast and could move. And likewise in a company, you need people with different talents and abilities. And so in the church, we need people with different talents and abilities. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Remember, there was an old song back in the 60s or 70 that had the line, if you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It was something about, hey, you put up a parking lot. So that maybe some of you recognize it, but it runs through my mind. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. 20, 30 years ago, there was a cartoon series, a Christian series called Veggie Tales, and our older kids especially were into it there for a time. They had Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber. I remember at the community church when Trev was little, they had toys and they had Bob the Cucumber's jet plane or something there. But they had a silly song, and you think about parts of your body. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They had one silly song where Larry was talking with Dr. Archibald, and Larry confronts one of his deepest fears, and Larry sings, if my lips ever left my mouth, packed a bag and headed south, that'd be too bad. I'd be so sad. And if my lips said, adios, I don't like you, I think you're gross, that'd be too bad, I might get bad. If my lips moved to Duluth, left the mess and took my tooth, that'd be too bad, I'd call my dad. Well, if you don't think about your lips, but what if you didn't have your lips, or nose, or whatever? Pierre's right now is feeling something in his arm. You don't know how good it is that nothing's hurting until it starts to hurt, or you stub your little toe, whatever. You don't know what you have till it's gone. There's a lot to be thankful for. And I talked when I started about looking for the good in people. You focus on what's bad and you miss what's good. And until what's good is gone too, then you really miss it. And you recognize somebody, one of our members may have annoyed you in some way, but they did a lot of other good things. And don't let what annoys you cause you to not notice the good things that they do. And we're better off, and you actually, if you want to be happy, you would increase your happiness if you would spend time focusing on what they do right, what they do good, and dwelling on that. It's a great danger to let your mind dwell on something that's bad. People lust. We have a lot of pornography because they allow their mind to dwell on that, or they dwell on riches or whatever. Put your mind on good things. Let it focus. Make your mind, force your mind to focus on good things. And the Bible is the best place to go to look in the fruits of the spirits and so on. In the church, we need many different talents. Some talents, most of us can move chairs, but some of us can sing. Don't ask me, although I actually used to be in the choir, but I've lost it, whatever I did have. But they all enhance the body. All our talents are for the benefit of the body. We need to get our minds off ourselves and focus on the body. Instead of I, think of we. Focus on the we. What can we do? What would help others? So if we have talents to help out here in church services, set up and so on, please do your part to help. And I was thinking harmony is the blending of two or more sounds together to create something more beautiful than either by themselves. When we work together, we accomplish more than working separately, especially when we work together in harmony. And we look to the Holy Spirit for that so that we can be harmonious. And concluding the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 31, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. But are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now there's the end of that sentence that really belongs in the next chapter, which is about love. I mean, love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the first fruit. So nobody has all the talents, but we all have our part to contribute. We all interact. We all make a difference. I really like, I think when we come into the presence of somebody, there's something different. Salesmen know that they need to show up in person from time to time at customer sites because the attitude changes. It's just different. I think part of the problem is little things build up and little annoyances build up in your mind. And when you show up in person, they tend to dissolve and you develop some rapport with each other. So it's important that we gather together however we can, and we all have something to contribute. And we need to take time and ask the other person how did they feel instead of spending all our time telling. It's important that we get a chance to talk and tell about us, but you need to stop and ask others, how did your week go? What do you need help with? What's bothering you? So we're all part of the body. When one of us hurts, we all hurt, we all affect one another. So in conclusion, I'll close with prayer. Father, thank you for calling us into your body, uniting us through your Holy Spirit, and we are your Jesus body. And in the future, we'll come together and represent this, the bride of Christ. We thank you for calling us, for the sacrifice Christ made for us once and for all. And our goodness will not earn us salvation. It's already given because Christ paid the price. But we do have a desire to do good works for you, to help one another, to express our love to one another because of the love that you have for us. We give you thanks and pray for the healing that we've requested and brought in the petitions we brought before you. Hear our prayers and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.